Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to Show Me the Science, my weekly podcast when I dig into something that interests me or Tom, my new wonderful producer. He's suggested this topic, and Tom's coming up with great ideas, which is superb, and we're on the same page. I'm always the one. So this is Tom's suggestion, but it's a really interesting one, and one I've thought about before a little bit, I suppose. It is the science of speech making. Now, you might wonder, what am I doing talking about that? Well, I give lots of speeches myself. I'm giving constant talks at conferences. I gave a big talk a couple of weeks ago at the big Immunology Congress. That was a bit unnerving, 1,000 people in the audience. I give lectures and I often give talks to lay audiences. So this was interesting to me anyway. And you can always improve, you know, and get tips and so on. And I'm about to get an honorary degree. I hate to claim successor from the Royal College of Surgeons, and I've got to make a commencement speech at the graduation ceremony. And this was triggered when Tom actually came across a guy called Brad Metzer. Now, Brad is a famous author. He's well known in America, and he gave a graduation speech in the University of Michigan very recently, and it went down a storm. It went viral. Check it out on YouTube, and I've played it twice now. I made crib from it. I'll have to give him credit, of course. He can't be taking someone else's glory. But he used a very interesting technique, and his speech went down an absolute bomb. And then, of course, having listened to that and then dug into this a bit, there's great tips as to how to make a great speech or a talk. And I'm going to give you the top tips to how to do this. And many people will be giving speeches at weddings or whatever it might be. And you can learn anything, really, you know. And if you are nervous, and public speaking apparently is the most fearful thing humans do. There's ways you can learn and there's ways you can get better. Like most things, it's a skill, and there's a few little rules of thumb. And I was never trained in it, actually, myself. I picked it up as I went along. And all the things I've come across in this are consistent, hopefully, with the kinds of things that I try to do. He used magic as the basis for his talk, right? It was a graduation speech to lots of kids graduating in Michigan, including his own son, and that'll become important in a minute. But he had a structure to his presentation, and that's extremely important, of some kind of structure, because then the audience goes with you. And he used the idea of magic, strange as it may seem, to inform this graduation speech. And he said, magicians use four tricks. And you, in your life, imagine now he's speaking to these burgeoning young graduates, should use these four tricks in your life as you go out into the big bad world. And commencement speeches are often like that. They're often, here's what I think the world is like, and good luck on your journey, and here's a few tips for you. And he said, the first thing is, magicians can make something appear, which is true. And then he said, a good example there is have a goal. You can make something appear. You can set your sights on something. And it might be a new motorbike, or it might, he didn't say that, mind you, but it could be like a job, or it could be something you want in your life. And you can actually make it appear yourself if you work hard enough towards that thing, whatever it is. So have a goal, I guess, is what he was saying there. And he could have just said, have a goal, couldn't he? But instead he said, a magician can make things appear, and you can do. You can too. And the second thing he said was, they're very good at making things disappear. And he said, for example, your fears, we're all frightened, you know, we're all lacking in confidence, and we all have to have the imposter syndrome. And when you get to your first job and all this kind of stuff, you are a bit fearful. When I gave my talk last week to 1,000 people, it was a brand new talk. Even I get scared sometimes in that situation, haven't given it before. So he said, make something disappear. Make your fear disappear. And he said, the way to do that is to use it to your advantage. And that's what I'm inclined to do. So if you are a bit anxious, it can actually propel you forward. So conquer it, you know, make it disappear. Eventually, of course, whatever it might be. So identify something that's troubling you. You can make it disappear in various ways. Then he said the third thing magicians do is they can make two things switch places. And that was interesting, I suppose, if magicians do that. And that what that's about is, he said, empathy. Really important to be empathic, right? So if you're talking to someone and, you know, they're troubled, you can be empathic towards them, and you can switch their place with you, is what he was saying there. In other words, you can empathize with them, walk a day in their shoes type thing. And that's when he got the standing ovation. I've noticed the crowd really loved that bit. He spoke about kindness. He used this phrase, if you really want to shock the world, unleash your kindness. What a great phrase that was. And that was the idea then of walking, I guess, a day in someone else's shoes. You never know the journey someone else has been on. And if you use empathy, it can really be helpful, because first of all, we can help each other through it. and it can benefit you and the person you're empathizing with, and that can help your career and all kinds of things. So the third was to make two things, switch your place with someone else, I guess. And then the fourth thing he spoke of was you can change one thing into something else. Now, that's challenging your thinking. In other words, you can challenge your thought process and change it into a more positive thing. You know? And that was a good idea as well, obviously, to challenge your own thinking and change your thinking in a different direction, whatever it might be. And he spoke about that. Now, so he gave them four little tips there, but they were all hung around the notion of magic, and we all know what magic is. He said they're all very tough to achieve, and to become a magician is pretty tough. Like these magicians, and we are scientists, we don't believe that they make things disappear. They use sleight of hand or whatever, but they learn it. And you can learn these four things: make something appear, make something disappear, make two things switch, and then change one thing into another. And if you follow that, then you'll have a great life, is what he was saying. And then what I liked what he said as well at the end was that there is real magic, though, he said. He said the real magic is to make memories and to forge friendships. Isn't that great? Very simple message there, right? So he ended with a really, I guess his key piece of advice is in your life, try to make the best memories you can and to forge friendship. And he spoke about friendship being very important. Now, as I say, he could have given that speech and said all those things without using the magic analogy. But the magic analogy really rammed home the message. And there's an important tip, which I'll come back to, I guess. This went viral. He himself said he was amazed at the response to it. He wasn't expecting it. He said that when he got to the empathy part, he was really blown away by that, the response he got from people. Because most people will respond to the notion of a positive message like that. There were 70,000 people there and they all got to their feet. Remarkable. Which just shows, you know, if we could all do that, wouldn't it be great? Now, why did it work? Well, magic was a great framing device. And there's tip number one. If you're giving a speech, have some kind of framing device around the speech to help you in a way, you know. And that's an obvious enough thing to do, I suppose. And then, of course, the key message really was empathy and kindness. So the overall message of the speech was so compelling. It appeals to people's emotions and all that kind of thing, I guess. That was the positives there. And that was why it worked, he think. And the other thing that I noticed was he himself said this. It was a timely and universally relevant message, deeply felt as well by him. And that really resonated with the audience. And then the last thing, he was well aware of this. His own son was in the audience and he saw his son responding and he wanted to give his own son a key message, I suppose. And that emotional connection with the son was extremely important as well. So there's a few elements in there. Now, if we go beyond that speech and look at the science of this, there's a lot of stuff out there on this. You can buy books, how to give a good speech. You can join Toastmasters or whatever it is. So there's a lot of information out there about that. And on behalf of you, the wonderful listeners, I've dug into it and I'm going to give you now the key tips. Now, there are actually 8 tips, and that'll be too many in a speech, you know. But for us, we can go through all 8. And they're obvious. I mean, similar to what I said about Metzger's speech himself. Number one, and this is in order, I think, have a clear purpose. What the hell are you talking about, right? The speech has to have a clear purpose. If it's a best man speech, that's obvious. It could be a eulogy. If it's something scientific, you have one message to give on the science you're describing. So think about what the purpose of the speech is, what's it about. And then the audience should be in no doubt at the end of it that what you were talking about. There should be a clear message in the speech. It has a clear purpose to it. Second tip now. That's the overall tip, by the way. Have a clear purpose. Have a very strong opening. And there's a really important tip. You've got to grab the audience early on, because they will decide, can they be bothered listening to you? And in this age of endless distraction, if you can't get them in the few couple of opening sentences, you'll never get them back because they're distracted away from it. So think about the opening. Start with a strong statement, a strong opening. It can be something like, it's fantastic to be here, you're all looking great in your wedding gear or whatever, you know, and that'll get them on side. You know? So think about a strong opening as a second thing. The third thing is try and tell stories. Now, that's the tricky part. So if you can illustrate what you're trying to say with stories, that can be extremely useful as well to make the point. Because we humans, we love stories. In fact, the best speeches and talks are all about storytelling because we evolved to listen to stories. So a good story or two is really useful. Number four, have a clear structure, as I mentioned already, in a way. A beginning, a middle and an end. Think about that. You know, the tip I saw recently or a couple of years ago when I began learning myself how to do it, you know, I think it was Henry Kissinger said, you start by telling them what you're going to tell them, then you tell them it, and then you tell them what you've told them. So 3 times you've done something there. That was the structure of that, you know, which is great. He also said that a lecture was where the notes of the professor pass into the notes of the student without the information passing through either brain, which is probably true. But still, have a good structure to your talk as well, if you can. Number five, clarity and simplicity. Short, vivid sentences are really effective. Avoid jargon at all costs, because one word of jargon, people turn off. And as a scientist, I know this to my cost over the years, you can't avoid jargon sometimes, but be very careful with jargon. Define it. Tell them, I know this is a tricky word, but this is it, because otherwise you put them off and people stop listening. Number six, emotionally connect. Now, that's the thing Brad got there. Now, how do you connect emotionally? Well, the storytelling is part of it. Use humour. That can backfire. You've got to be careful, mind you. If you're not comfortable using humour, don't, because you'll hear a dog barking in the silence. Humour can be effective. Empathy, again, compassion is a great emotional connection, whatever you're talking about. Try to appeal to people's emotions. The other great phrase I've come across is, when you give a speech, they won't remember what you said, but they'll remember how they felt. And that's very often the case. So think about the emotional part as well. Number seven, authenticity. Now, this is a really good one. You got to be yourself, be authentic, because if you're not authentic, they'll stop listening and they won't listen. They'll be suspicious of you. Never use a written script is the advice, actually, because that comes across as inauthentic. A good trick that I would use is use a bit of eye contact occasionally with the audience, because that shows you're being authentic to them. So think about that. Don't try to fake it is the trick here. Just be yourself and people will respond to that. And then number eight, end strongly. That's really important. And I tell my students when they give little talks, if they end on a kind of a thing, well, that's what I told you, and yeah, that kind of thing, that's awful. You got to end with a strong ending. And it might be what you started with. Say that again in a different way, for instance. And I often do that. I start by, as I said, what I'm going to tell them, and then I end with that again and tell them that this is really what the message is. So a strong ending is very important. Very often, to end with a call to action can be useful. So you might end with, without being too didactic, a kind of a statement that calls people to action, because people do love that. They love to be told what it is you think that's really important here and what might happen next, and that can be a really important thing. A good example as well, I just came from this conference, and the president of the Immunology Congress, her name is Miriam Mirad, she gave a fantastic speech. She ended with a call to action. She said, this is now the start of the resistance, and this is about countering anti-science in America. And it was a wonderful ending that she gave in her speech as well. So a strong ending, really important. And then the other thing that's the tricky part, you need a bit of charisma. Now that's kind of hard to pin down what it is. That's kind of about how you're making people feel. And it's hard to define charisma. It's kind of to do with warmth. It's to do with presence. You know, don't be rushing, because that can be really negative. Your voice should vary a bit, because otherwise it's a bit monotonous. Remember Father... Who had the really boring voice in Father Ted? Try and vocal variety is important. That kind of speaks to this charisma thing, but you can't fake charisma. If you try to do it, it'll come across as looking ridiculous. So, but the charisma thing is actually mainly about warmth, they think, and connecting with someone in a way that counts for them. And that's something to work on a little bit, maybe, but certainly that can come naturally, you know. And then the other thing, one last thing to mention is, you got to sound inspired yourself, right? Now, I tell the students this. If you're not the most interested person in the room talking about what you're talking about, how can you expect the people listening to be interested? You must be really inspired in what you're saying as best you can. And you might feel fed up one day and you might be not interested. And sometimes I get this, you know, in the best of form. You got to try to get up there, you know, and come across that you really believe in it. You might be having a bad day, but you really do believe in it deep down. So try and sound inspired as best you can. That can come across at the end as well, especially this inspirational bit at the end. Not being like pumping on the old, you know, the lectern or anything, but just try to sound interested. You got to be the most interested person in the room what you're talking about, because if you're not, then how will they be, as I said already. So that kind of thing, you know, builds into this as well, and that's an add-on I would provide as advice. Now remember, of course, I've noticed this doing the research on this one, so ChatGPT can write speeches now and tell you when to alter your voice and all the rest of it. Try and avoid that. You might get a few tips here and there. You might get a couple of good jokes, for instance, but again, if you do it too much of that, you come across as inauthentic. It's got to be your voice and what you think. That's a really important piece of advice as well. So there you have it. That is the science of speech making. And there's a few tips there. I hope they're useful to anybody listening, any students who have to give presentations or scientists at conferences or wedding speeches, you name it. If you follow some of those things, at least, you'll do really well and you'll really connect with your audience, which is what it's all about in the end. And thanks as ever for listening. And my podcast is a News Talk production, available every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.